Hey guys, it's Brian Ogonaut. Really quick announcement before I start today's show. I have a new podcast that's called Mindset Daily, and the whole goal of the show is to help you build a rock solid mindset to support you in life, support you in your goals, and to help you become the best version of yourself possible. So if you'd like to check that out, you can go right down into the show notes and check out the links to the show. So that being said, I would like to start today's episode, and this show today is very interesting. So I recorded a few episodes about the yoga industry and about teacher trainings, and I've been highly critical about teacher trainings in general and how they prepare teachers. Now, a specific show you can go back and listen to, Does the Yoga Industry Exploit Yoga Teachers? If you haven't listened to it, you should go listen to that. I said a few things about yoga teacher trainings that really seem to resonate, and I got a message on Instagram. And by the way, if you have a question or you want to shoot me a message, you can DM me on Instagram at Brian Ogonaut there, and I'll get to it as soon as I can. But I got a really interesting message from someone. And that question was essentially, what do you think a real yoga teacher training would look like? Or what do you think a modern yoga teacher training would look like? Like, you've got really strong opinions on why teacher trainings fail. And that is true. And I like to be one of those people, and I thought about it. I like to be one of these people in general where I don't like to just criticize things or be critical of something without actually offering up a solution. And so I thought about this, and I figured I'd put together a quick overview of what I think a real teacher training should have and why it's beneficial. So I think first and foremost, you have to look at this and say that how has yoga evolved? And one of the things that I like to do as, and my approach is rooted, I'm classically trained as, and for those of you guys who don't know, my mindset is really, how can I upgrade things? How can I improve things? How can I make things better based on the feedback that I get? And that tends to be my philosophy with all of my trainings. And for example, like with Body Breakthrough, over the years, you start to notice patterns and you start to see things in the program that you once thought were a good idea. And then as you evolve and as you get real-time feedback, you start to see how you can make that even better and you can improve on that situation. And it's one of the things I saw too. And for Body Breakthrough, we go through extensively people's anatomies. Like with our clients, we go through their anatomy and we figure out what's not working and what muscles aren't activating. And we go, basically, it's like a deep kind of overview, so to speak, of all the muscles in the body and how they work and what's not working correctly and what's not working in the context of the body, and to help them to rebuild their body and then use press handstand as that physical proof, physical walking proof that their body is now balanced, right? And a press handstand is a very great tool for a balanced body, right? If you can do a press handstand, your body's pretty balanced. There's a lot of things that if your body is a little messed up, you won't be able to lift yourself. Now, what I did notice is as a result of having people having muscles operating in the wrong way or not operating the correct way, they would have these neurological patterns or these weaker tendencies that would prevent their body from moving. So it wasn't just good enough to say, this is how you engage a muscle and this is how you do it. You have to take a step back, because if people have weak muscles and they go and they just start doing things to make the muscle engage or doing exercises under the assumption that their muscle will just catch on and do something if it hasn't been doing it for years and in some cases decades, you'll get injured. And so once I realized that, I saw, okay, so some people are pushing way too hard, way too fast and ending up getting injured. We have to improve this process so that way someone who hasn't used a muscle in a correct way can ease into it and start to build up that pattern more efficiently. And you start to make corrections, right? And then you start to see other corrections on things like, that's just the big one I like to look at. I'm like, okay, cool. So what's the issue? How can we improve it? How can we make it better so that people in the future have a better experience? And if you constantly do that, your product and what you offer continuously gets better, right? So that to me is my philosophy on things, which is improve them and make them better. And I can go through numerous cases where My opinion changes when the facts change. So when I start to see things that, counter my point of view, then I start to change my point of view so that I can tweak things and make them better. So really good example of this is like teacher training. Now, back to what I had originally said, you have to look at the way yoga has evolved and the way the yoga industry has evolved over the years. Now, what yoga classes looked like a decade ago, or maybe even 15 years ago, is very different from what they look like today. They're also, the type of people that practice yoga are also very different, right? And they want different things. And for better or for worse, yoga has become an industry and yoga has become commoditized. But that doesn't mean necessarily that all commodities have to be bad. That doesn't necessarily mean it's gone down the drain. It actually means the benefit of something being commoditized is that it's brought out to the masses. And yoga is very beneficial when you can bring it out to the masses in that way. So understanding that, you would say, all right, in order to prepare a yoga teacher, and I'm going to operate under the assumption, this is the other assumption that I'm operating under. If I was ever to do a yoga teacher training again, these are the things that I would do. And I think when you're creating yoga training for teachers, there should be an element that takes into account where the industry is going and where we are now, some kind of evolution. The Yoga Alliance holds the yoga teacher training, the yoga teacher training's back because most people feel completely beholden to these outdated standards and regulations and things you should be teaching in order to become a yoga teacher. And 99% of them are not even relevant for yoga teachers today, right? So first and foremost, number one, there has to be a focus on marketing and sales. I'm going to start right there. So yoga teachers today, even very good yoga teachers, do not understand that you're ultimately, when you become a teacher, you're in the business of working for yourself, right? You are your product. And that means, like any business, if you don't market the product correctly, if you don't sell the product correctly, nobody's going to buy it. And that's like it. That's with anything, right? There has to be marketing and there has to be sales that go into it. But there's nothing in a yoga teacher training that teaches a yoga teacher how to market themselves, how to sell themselves, how to create products, right? And you may say, like, you may say certain things like they encourage you to have a website or a business card or these kinds of things or get on social media, but that doesn't do anything to market or sell. Those kind of things are just baseline these days. Like, marketing and selling means things like, how do I run an email marketing list? How do I keep in touch with my students at scale? How do I build an email list? How do I keep hold of my clients and my students so that I can interact with them? What do I do with that email list when I have it? How do I create products to sell to that list? How do I take my knowledge and my skill set and be able to properly turn the skills I've acquired into products so that I can tell them, so I can sell them? The goal of a teacher is not just to be teaching classes for the rest of your life, right? Like that gets tiresome real quick. But the goal is to be able to expand your knowledge base, right? And take the knowledge and take what you've learned from teaching yoga classes and then bundle up all that knowledge into other products that you can then sell so that you're able to make money independent of your time, right? So the dilemma that most yoga teachers face is that they are trading their time for money, meaning they have to show up and physically teach something in order to make money. And as a byproduct of that, they get exhausted and they can't create any leverage for themselves. And it's like, You go on vacation, you make no money, you can't. And you start to feel chained. You get stuck in that cycle of I must trade time for money. That's a bad trade in the long run because the amount of time you have in this world is finite. It's fixed. It's limited. But the amount of money in this world is infinite, right? So you're effectively trading a finite resource for an infinite resource, which is ultimately a bad trade. So you have to move beyond that. And in order to make any of that happen, that's marketing and sales, right? So that's number one. Number two is right along these lines of there has to be some kind of training. There has to be something in the training that teaches yoga teachers how to leverage technology. Like the problem with any industry, and it's not just yoga, this is any industry, they tend to shun modern technology. Like they tend to look at it as a threat versus an asset and how they can improve the way they operate. Like a great example, like I saw like schools, and this is the education system. The education system is completely outdated. Also, by the way, and the education system does not prepare kids in any way, shape, or form to succeed in this world. In fact, I think they do a disservice to them. And one of the things that I saw is schools are banning ChatGPT. I don't know if you are familiar with that, but ChatGPT is, it's like an AI software, and you can go look at it and play with it that essentially solves problems for you. It can write essays, all sorts. It can do anything you ask it, basically. Like you can, like if you wanted to do legal writing, if you need a demand letter written, it'll write a demand letter. If you wanted to solve calculus problems, you just type in the problem, it solves it. And so kids were starting to use ChatGPT to get some of their work done. Now, my issue with that is AI is cutting edge technology and it's here to stay. That's not going, it's not going anywhere. So rather than banning the software, why not get with the times ASAP and start training these kids how to operate and how to function in an AI world, right? Limiting their use to technology does not enhance their ability to succeed in this world. It inhibits it, right? Why block or why inhibit things that would help move the world forward? And the argument would be something along the lines of, I want them to do the math problems themselves. I want them to write out the math themselves and do it by hand. Yeah, but that's outdated. Like, why would they do that? The reality is why, right? You're training them to do something that's outdated and not useful anymore, which is the reality of it is train them to use the technology, right? Train them to use the technology so that they have the tools and the knowledge to apply it to the world. The world will move on with AI, and so will the kids one day. So train them to use it instead of training them to do something obsolete. Same thing with yoga, right? Like, you got to leverage the technology and teach them, like, there's nothing, there is nothing that is available to yoga teachers that teaches them not only, never mind the marketing, the sales, but how do you take what you know and turn it into a product, turn it into a course, turn it into a coaching program, turn it into something of value, right? How do you take the knowledge that you've acquired and turn it into value, right? That's what we do in our Business Growth Accelerator Mastermind. We help teachers with that. We help yoga teachers, coaches, any sorts of people, personal trainers, anyone who has knowledge of this way, turn it into a course. There's nothing like that in any kind of yoga teacher training that even gives teachers remotely the tools or the skills to leverage what they know and turn it into products, right? And then never mind that, but then all of the tools and technology available. Like, it's amazing that I see, like, when we work with yoga teachers, and we work with a lot of really talented yoga teachers, right? And they're very good at what they do, but they're completely misinformed on technology. Like, they have no idea about how to use course building software, right? They have no idea about how to use tools to create products. And these are things, this is how you monetize your brand. These are things that you do to monetize the skills that you create, right? And yeah, the thing with teaching yoga classes is that the goal of yoga classes is to not get paid well. Breaking news for you yoga teachers listening to this is, like, teaching a yoga class, you'll never get paid yoga class and you'll never get rich teaching yoga classes. But what you will get rich in when you teach enough yoga classes is knowledge. You will learn things from being in the field, so to speak, and teaching these classes. And these things, you become rich with knowledge, but then the question is, what do you do with that? That's when you can go and you can turn these things into products and you can turn these things into very valuable pro coaching programs, online courses, 4 to 6 week, 8 week challenges, things that are actually going to improve the lives of other people and at the same time improve your life in the process. That's a big one. Is leveraging the technology is a really big one. Number three, I would say there has to be some sort of mindset training in teacher trainings for teachers. Like they need, and when I say mindset training, I don't mean, and I know people are going to nail me to the wall for this, as they always do. What I don't mean is they don't need to read every book on Eastern philosophy that teaches them some mantra or something someone said 10,000 years ago. I would argue that the history of yoga is becoming more irrelevant than ever, and nobody really cares about the history of yoga these days. Nobody really cares about what historical yoga books you've read, because teaching classes, people don't show up to take classes for a history lesson. And a lot of that just holds people back. If there's anything that's outdated, it's yoga history, right? Like it's great to study the history. It's great to understand the history, but the point of understanding history is how you can learn from it, not repeat it. And that's the issue with most of these set sequenced series that are out there. Is Ashtanga is notoriously bad for injuring people. That doesn't change. That'll never change. That'll be the same sequence 100 years from now. They'll die on that hilt before they ever change it. And anyway, you've got all these sequences that haven't changed. They haven't evolved in any way, shape, or form. They're exactly the same. The problem is that history is worshipped instead of learned from. And it's our opportunity to say, all right, it's time to upgrade. It's time to upgrade our thinking on this and realize, okay, the biggest benefits to yoga are not these things that are spewed in history books. I'm sorry to say. But the mindset has to be like the mindset of a yoga teacher. Has to be really solid. And what I mean by that is rather than learning yoga history, learning how yoga affects our physiology and how physiology affects our mind, right? Like when we change our physiology, we can change the way we think, we can change the way we feel, we can change the way we are biochemically, right? Like yoga poses do that to us, right? They change our physiology, and by default, it changes our biochemistry, which changes the way we think, changes the way we feel, changes our stress response, changes all sorts of things. And that is something that is far more beneficial as a skill set from a teacher versus being able to quote lines from some historical text, right? Leave that to the yoga historians and let them do that. But as a teacher trying to benefit students, understanding how yoga changes your physiology and how when you change your physiology, you can change your state, you can change your mind, you can change all sorts of things. That's directly applicable to students that you work with. That's directly applicable to clients that you'll work with. And that's knowledge that benefits you directly in the field, right? So getting into those types of like deeper mindset things is really powerful. It's really powerful. And then four, I have a whole list of these things, and I fear this episode's going to go for hours if I just keep talking, but maybe I'll leave it at this at a fourth one. But the other thing that has to change in trainings is it has to be less focused on the poses. It has to be less asana focused, and it has to be more anatomy focused, meaning yoga teachers today don't understand how the human body works. They understand poses. They understand, and like I said, and lots of you actually agreed with this point, is most of the quote-unquote learning anatomy in trainings is this is the pose, right? And This is the muscle, it stretches, and that's about as far as it goes. And then what do new yoga teachers do? They just memorize cues. They just say, they told me grab the big toe with the middle two fingers. They told me to broaden my collarbones. They told me to shine my arms and heart like wings. And then they just regurgitate those things, but they have no real understanding of what's actually going on in the body, right? Like critical understanding, which is how functional anatomy influences what we do. Like, how does it affect the body if you change the alignment in this pose, right? Take half moon. How would your body be effective if instead of facing the right toes straight forward, you angled them in 30 degrees? How would that affect the muscles that engage in the pose? Or things like that make a big difference. And it's, and a lot of it too is not just pose, it like pose and cue focused, but it's also very like alignment focused. Like this is the ideal alignment. And it's one of the things I teach. It's one of the things that I teach in Body Breakthrough is to not be overly dependent on alignment. Alignment is a substitute for strength. And at the long end, the bigger picture of these things here is that alignment, if you become dependent on alignment, your body doesn't have a chance to get stronger. And the definition of strength is how well you can hold yourself when you're misaligned. Right? What good does the functional body do for you if the only position your body was safe in standing in was the correct ideal alignment for Warrior Two? Right? If your body couldn't withstand the knee buckling in a little bit without ripping every ligament in the knee, tweaking your lower back and jacking up your neck, are you really strong? No. So there's this level of focus and on, there's this overemphasis on the poses and the alignment of the poses and the cues that you're supposed to say in the class, but no real focus on how the body actually works, right? The functional side of things is being able to look at somebody's body physically and to say, I can see based on how they're walking that this is an issue for them. I can see based on their posture here, that is an issue for them. I can see how this affects that and this is affecting this. Like, those are things that make a huge difference. Those are things that make a real big in your body. And if yoga teachers started to understand that, they would be held in a much higher esteem in people's minds. I think one of the fundamental problems with yoga is that you've got a lot of professions that you know, work on the human body, holistic professions that work on the human body. And they take their craft very seriously, right? You can go to an osteopath. You can go to a chiropractor. You can go to these kinds of people and holistic doctors, and they understand the body really well. They take their craft seriously. But sometimes, and this is people's experience with yoga, unfortunately, is it's a chronic issue. There are yoga teachers that are completely ill-equipped to be teaching people in the classroom, in a classroom setting. And sometimes that's people's first experience with yoga, and they realize, God, this teacher is awful. All of yoga must be awful. It's not true. It's not true, but that's their experience because the craft is not taken seriously. To really understand and to really push past these things takes a complete radical overhaul in what you do and how you learn and how you approach it. And I think like those four things alone, if teachers had those skills, like if they legitimately had those skills, the yoga teaching as a whole would get better. And I think from as an overview, what has to change is like the goal of a yoga teacher training, and maybe this is part of the issue too, is that the goal of a yoga teacher training is just to prepare them to teach yoga in a class, right? Just show up to teach in a yoga class. Teach a class. Be able to get through a 60-minute class, right? And you're good enough. But the bar has to be a little higher. And I think the yoga industry and teaching as a whole would get better if the goal of yoga teacher trainings was not just how to teach a class, but how to actually make a living, how to make a full-time living teaching yoga. And that means you've got to learn a lot more skills and the training has to be a lot more complete and a lot more solid. And that's that right there is how you would make the entire industry better. There's not very many yoga teachers that are able to teach full time and take care of themselves very well and solely focus on improving their craft and getting better and better. And that's the reality. Most people who teach can't support themselves, number one, because they're underpaid. But number two, they don't have the skills to create more income through what they're learning. So they end up just staying stuck in a job. And then if you're working a job all the time, the yoga and what you do is just a secondary thing, right? It's not this all powerful thing that you do that helps you, that basically becomes your career. So those are my thoughts. I have a lot more of what needs to go into training, but those are some key things that really, that are necessary for yoga teachers in today's age, like absolutely necessary, which is marketing and sales, learning the technology, mindset, really that the right mindset. And even one thing I didn't say on that third point is money mindset, is actually working and coaching yoga teachers to understand that making money is not bad and you shouldn't feel evil or demonized or villainized for teaching yoga. As much as the people in the industry would like to tell you asking for money makes you greedy, it doesn't. Asking for money doesn't make you greedy. It's what's necessary to live. The rising cost of everything makes it even more critical, and getting paid what you're worth should be the primary thing, because when you get paid what you're worth and you're able to support yourself, you can help other people better because now you've got yourself taken care of. So that's all I've got for you on today's show. Again, a few comments, questions, things you'd like to share, find me on Instagram at Brian Ognod. You can find me there. If you'd like to check out Body Breakthrough, if you want to go through that process of learning a press handstand and work with me through that and go through the entire anatomical experience and getting to learn your body and how it works, I'll put links in the show notes to that, so you can check that out. You can also head over to, for more information, www.theasanaacademy.com/apply. That's www.theasanaacademy.com/apply. Or if you are a yoga teacher, some kind of coach, or you do anything where you're teaching or working with clients hourly, we do have what's called the Business Growth Accelerator Mastermind, which arms you with all of these tools. It shows you how to turn your expertise into an online coaching program, shows you how to sell it, et cetera, et cetera. And we even have options where we'll just build everything for you. If you are into that, if technology is not your thing at all, my team will just build everything for you, assuming that you've got a good fit and you get access to the mastermind too, to learn how to do that and learn how to grow your business that way. So that's all I've got for you on today's show. If this was beneficial for you, please do share it with somebody, share it with a yoga teacher, share it with someone in the yoga industry that you know, a friend of yours, have them listen to it, and then take some time to leave a review on the podcast. That would be really great. And then find me on Instagram, find me over there at Brian Ognod, and we'll stay in touch that way. And I will talk to you soon.